This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by the Club at Lac La Belle, which recently celebrated the grand opening of its all-new golf course. The rebirth of this historic course is now available for both members and non-members, and located conveniently between Milwaukee and Madison in the beautiful rolling hills of Oconomowoc. See what all the talk is about with this remake of one of the oldest golf courses in the state, and test your game with the native fescue grasses, undulating greens, and Scottish roots. Book your tee time today at clubatlaclabelle.com. Alongside Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez, and this is Talking.Golf, the really kind of the wind down to the, we're now beyond, we've gone from the height of the season, Gary, to the dog days of the season, and almost to the end of the season here. We've got only a handful of things left, the WSGA Senior Amateurs, the big thing this week, but we didn't really get a chance, you and me, to talk about the State Open in hindsight, and we have to do that because, I don't know, it'll go down in my books as one of the great all-time State Opens. And what a great champion in Harrison Ott. You were there. I mean, what did you think of what you saw at Blue Mound Golf and Country Club?
Rob, Blue Mound was spectacular. I mean, for people who have never had a chance to walk that course or play it, it is every bit as good as, I think, in my opinion, Milwaukee Country Club, which always gets top billing as, you know, as the top private club. And a lot of people think it's the top course in the state. But I think Blue Mound is right there. So what a year it was to have the State Amateur at Milwaukee Country Club followed by the State Open at Blue Mound. The players raved about Blue Mound. The conditions of the course were absolutely perfect. The greens were lightning fast. And it was maybe the strongest field in State Open history with great mini tour players, the top club pros, some really, really good amateurs, which I know we're going to talk about. It was just a really good week at Blue Mound.
Before we get to the competition itself, let's stay right on the course. I mean, I had guys texting me and reaching out on Twitter. Neil Johnson, Skip Kendall, Mark Wilson are the big three that come to mind. That's not a bad trio of critics to be saying Blue Mound was not only a great course in the way it was maintained, but they also said that Chris Hull and Joe Stadler and the WPGA crew did an exceptional job of setting up the course to bring out its attributes.
Yeah, the defense at Blue Mound is the green complexes and the putting surfaces themselves. It's a fairly wide open driving course. You know, guys pound a driver all over the place on that golf course. It's a second shot course, Rob, because the greens have so much character and undulation and speed that depending where the flag stick is, you had to have your ball in the right spot on the green or you were making bogey. So that's where, you know, precision coming into the greens, it tested the players' iron game and short irons and wedges. And then once they got on the green, it tested every bit of their putting prowess because I saw a lot of three putts and I saw guys putting the ball off the green. It wasn't unfair. It was right at the edge of being, you know, really, really great and demanding a lot of you.
As we go down the leaderboard, we have to start and end with Harrison Ott, at least start with, you know, 2 under par in the final round after literally wrestling the lead away from Kaylor Steeger in the third round. Kaylor Steeger, the first and second round leader, or at least part of the, at least had the co-lead after one round, goes out, you know, gets the lead and then makes a couple birdies early in the third round. And I'm thinking he's still 11 under. No one's going to catch this guy if he keeps doing that. Now he came back to the pack, but other guys went after him. And that was the neat thing about the way Blue Mound was set up. But Harrison Ott as a champion, Gary, I mean, as an amateur, first amateur champion since Jordan Niebrugge in 2011, and joins a pretty esteemed list of people like Mark Bumowski, Archie Gadian, I believe, and Mark Bumowski, Rick Rasmussen, and then, of course, Steve Stricker, you know, before he won his bushel basket as a professional, you know, won a playoff between two amateurs back in 87. Harrison Ott, to me, has really hit peak form, and we saw it last week at Blue Mound.
We did, Rob. It's very hard to win, I think, the state amateur or state open as an amateur because most of the amateurs who would have a chance of winning are going to be young, and aren't very experienced compared with the mini tour guys and the club pros who have been around a long time. But there were a few exceptions this year, and I think there's going to be exceptions every year going forward now. But Harrison Ott was clearly the class of the tournament, won by 6 shots. And these amateurs who play high-level college golf, as we've talked about on this podcast a lot, Rob, are prepared for this. You know, they, especially Harrison, who played in the U.S. Amateur, reached the round of 16, and a couple of weeks before that, made the sweet 16 at the Western Amateur. So he played a lot of high-level tournament golf this summer, and at a very high level.
You brought it up. We're going to talk about a few amateurs that finished in the top five, because it was very much an event that, in the end, was dominated by amateurs. But before we get to that point, one of the rising stars, or one of the guys whose stock did rise in the state open, was Kaylor Steeger. You never know which mini tour guy is going to make an impression. Kaylor Steeger, as you wrote about at the front half of the week, Gary, has been all over, you know, mini tour golf, and, you know, by his own admission, wasn't very good when he left school after a semester and turned pro. And one of those guys where you look at him and you just kind of shake your head and you go, what is he doing? And I think he showed the lefty is pretty good. And boy, he really had it going on. And, you know, every aspect of his game through 2+ rounds, almost through that whole first 9 of the third round before the wheels started to kind of, you know, get a little wobbly.
Yeah, I believe he got to 11 under at one point, Rob. And had he just played even par after that, he would have won the tournament, because Harrison Ott finished at 10 under. You know, Kaylor opened 66-66, made some birdies early in the third round, and was cruising along. You know, I haven't talked to him at length about what happened in the third and on that final day, actually, in the 36-hole final over the final 27 holes. But he hadn't been in that position a lot, Rob. Now, Harrison Ott's been in that position a lot in amateur golf. And so, obviously, it's Dan Waltman, who was going for a three-peat and finished tied for second. So there were guys around him who were used to that spotlight. I don't think Kaylor Steeger necessarily was used or comfortable in being in that position. But the next time he gets there, it's going to be better, I think.
I think you're right. In the short text he sent to me, he was pretty disappointed at how he performed in that final day. I kind of think two things, Gary. You let get the best of him. All of a sudden, he started to realize the greens were fast. He sent me a text saying that he felt like they blacktopped the greens overnight. I'm going, that's what they were saying since day one. I mean, you were out there on Monday, and you were seeing guys putting off the green, and Kaylor Steeger was like this Teflon guy who had no idea that the greens were fast. He was making putts left and right. So that part was a little bit weird. But the other part that wasn't was the fact that, you know, he let what others were doing around him were doing bother him. And, again, you probably have to go back to, I think it was 2014, 2013 when he won a state high school championship for Oak Creek High School, the last time he was actually in this position. And, yeah, you don't get there very often when you're you know, toiling around the mini tours. He won the event on the West Florida Golf Tour. But, you know, again, we talk about this is a major league field here. And, I mean, as we go down the list of guys, and let's talk about the two runners up, two very different golfers at different stages of their career. Dan Waltman, who, as history bears out, does whatever anybody who's been in the position of three-peating does. He finishes second. It's like the last three guys that have done it, have finished second that third year. And he manages to, you know, at one point we're thinking, boy, second place would be pretty good this year for Dan Waltman, given how bad the Torn Ferry Tour has gone for him. But as he got into the week, we thought, maybe this guy will sneak up on everybody and wait to, you know, till everybody else collapses and he'll be there on top. Didn't quite happen, but second place, not too bad. But Christopher Kola out of Fond du Lac, who's had a really good state amateur record, but this is the first time he's finished in the top 40 in the state open. You know, that again, a symbolic. He went out to Chico State and has made the most of it and has gained a lot of experience. He told me one time when he played out here nearby that on his team, if you don't finish in the top 15 of the tournament you're in, you have to qualify for your spot the next week. That's a pretty good way to get prepared for having to kind of fight for what you can get at a state open.
Yeah, Christopher Kola, you know, Robbie, he opened 74-64, and I believe those were the identical scores, if I'm not mistaken, that he shot at the Ray Fisher when he finished second there. So I think we'll have to check that, but I'm pretty sure we talked about that a little bit. And he said he's got to figure out how to get a better score in that first round, because, you know, if he shoots 70 in the first round or 69, he's right there pushing Harrison all the way to the end. So, but he played great after that first round.
That's amazing. I didn't know that. That's an amazing
I think that's true.
And it goes back to the fact that, you know, at Riverside, you go 74-64, you might come back 62-63, but you weren't going to do it at Blue Mound. And it didn't happen, but he was very competitive throughout the week and made a lot of birdies. I think he had the most par breakers of anybody in the field, and he's a kid you can look for. Sam Anderson, we talked about coming into the tournament because he shot the course record 62 at the Oaks to get in. A lot of guys qualified this year, Gary, that aren't going to have to do that for a while yet, and Sam was one of them. He's alone in fourth with a really good final day, I think 68-68 to get into a fourth-place finish, and you know, what a good showing for a guy that, you know, we didn't see much growing up. He kind of went from Stoughton down to Florida, learned how to play golf a different way, and took a different path to Wisconsin. But his star is shining bright. It's not the brightest among the college kids right now, but it's not that far off, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, he was right there. And I believe he shot 67-67 on that closing 36. Which is, I mean, to do that in 36 holes on the final day of the state open, that's really, really, really strong golf, obviously. Obviously he's got a very bright future. That 62 he shot at the Oaks course record, and to follow it up by playing well at the state open, strong stuff.
The guy that we thought was going to do well did. Thomas Longbella had a chance to win going into the final round and just struggled down the stretch. Otherwise, he might have been there too. Shot 68-75 on the final day. But where do you see Thomas Longbella fitting in? You know, again, if he does get some time in this fifth year at Minnesota, it's only going to make him better. But all of a sudden, I think he's a legit guy. Not quite in the same stratosphere as Harrison Ott, but getting pretty close.
Yeah, you know, he won the state amateur by 10 shots. So put aside what he did in the state open, he's had an incredible summer. But then to follow it up with a fifth place finish in the state open, pretty strong stuff. He didn't have his best game or his best stuff in the final 18 holes. You know, I wonder a little bit, we'd have to talk to Thomas about this, and I think he'd be honest about it. I have to wonder if Harrison Ott's in his head a little bit. Harrison beat him at 8-hole playoff in the state AM a couple years ago. And here he is paired with them in the final round of the state open. And, you know, Harrison wins going away and Thomas struggled in the final round. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but put that aside, he's had a great summer. No one can take away that state amateur victory from him.
And if there is a gap there, Gary, it's starting to narrow a little bit too.
Yeah.
And you know, it'd be interesting to see what would have happened if Harrison Ott hadn't played the Western Am. Obviously it was a great move for him. He got to match play, but, and played at Milwaukee Country Club. That would have been an outstanding test to see if anybody, because nobody else was in the same stratosphere as Thomas Longbella. Just a month ago over at Milwaukee Country Club. So, again, two great champions in our state amateur and our state open, and Thomas Longbella at the AM and Harrison Ott at the open. Just a couple more guys. Jack Blair, 68-68 on the final day, told me he has no intention of playing professional golf, hopes to make a contribution with the Badgers. He's basically he's kind of a glorified walk-on. Michael Burson gave him a scholarship or gave him a spot on the roster after he had, I think, committed to Brown. And or was looking to go out east to play, I believe. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, I've seen that one of those schools might have cut their program. So it's all worked out well for Jack Blair, and finishing sixth for him at the state amateurs like it is literally frosting on the cake. And hopefully it parlays if and when they do get playing golf at the college level this year, he'll be a factor in that mix because they do lose a couple guys. But you know, out of all the guys you expect to finish top 10 at the State Open, I'm not sure Jack Blair was on anybody's list.
No, probably not. But I'll tell you what, if he shoots 68s everywhere he goes, he's going to have to rethink that turning pro thing, I think. That's pretty good stuff to shoot a back-to-back 68s on the final day of the State Open.
I think he's majoring in finance, Gary. Remember, wasn't Jerry Kelly going to be going into finance too, you know, with his dad having the insurance company and the financial company? You know what?
Yeah,
we may need to take young Jack Blair aside and kind of give him a little history lesson there and just say, hey, ride this golf thing out as long as you can, because when you got it, you got it, and when you don't, you can go into your other line of work. But and he tied for sixth with Mark Wilson. And again, I think to kind of put a bow on our State Open talk, Mark Wilson, Skip Kendall really lent a lot in just their presence at this tournament, because they were very impressed with what they saw around them, and they contributed to what others saw around them by being there at the State Open.
Yeah, they added a lot to the field, and all the guys who played with them throughout the week just raved about what a pleasure it was to play with those guys, how Mark was very chatty and very congenial with those guys. You know, a five-time PGA Tour winner doesn't have to come back and play in the State Open, but Mark did it because it was, and Skip, because it was a 100th, it was at Blue Mound. They both won State Opens, and they're past their competitive prime playing careers, and it was great having them in the field, and everyone appreciated having them there.
Well, it was kind of funny because Mark Wilson's good friends with one of the great teaching professionals in Wisconsin, David Roche, and the two of them were scheduled to do a clinic early in the year, right around the time COVID hit, and they had to scrap the in-person thing, and they went virtual with an Instagram live video. And who was a guest star in that video? Harrison Ott. And and so, you know, again, for the guy that won the tournament, for him to look around and be starstruck because he knows his teacher, David Roche, has won the State Open. And then, of course, you know, through David, he knows Mark Wilson, and he knows that Mark Wilson has won a State Open and a State Amateur, and now Harrison Ott in that same ballpark. I guess, you know, there aren't many. I was shocked. I think I counted maybe a dozen people over the course of time that have won both in their careers, the State Am and the State Open. I would have thought it could be a lot more. But, you know, in that era that we talk now about all these PGA Tour guys from Wisconsin, Kelly, Kendall, Stricker, Hayes, when they were winning a lot of stuff, and Jerry didn't win a lot back in that era, but the other three, you know, kind of took turns, enough other guys snuck in there. And then what really got me was that, you know, you would think that a Stricker or a Kendall, you know, might win something, and then a Mark Bumowski will show us that he's not done yet back in that era. You know, that was the golden age of golf. We might be nearing that because we've got a lot of guys with a lot of game that are from age maybe 18 all the way up to age 50 plus with these guys off the Champions Tour.
Yeah, you know, Rob, I'm going to just throw out a number, 70 years of the State Open, you hardly ever saw amateurs winning. I mean, Bobby Brew won it as an amateur. Tommy Veitch might have won it as an amateur. Not many guys besides that in the first 7 years. Why is that? Because the pros, the amateurs, didn't have the competitive venues that they have today. They didn't have the college programs or the high school programs that you see today. It took a lot longer for amateurs to play their way into that kind of position where they could win a State Open. And the pros were just so much better equipped in the 40s, 50s, and 60s to win a tournament like this. But that script has completely flipped. Obviously, the young guys are prepared, they're ready, and they're proving it now, especially Harrison Ott going out winning by six shots.
First 40 or 50 years of the tournament, about four amateurs won it. I love the name of the first one, Adolph Buster Bach. We don't have very many guys named Buster anymore in golf, do we, Gary?
No. No, or Adolph. Adolph.
No. So that's great. I mean, rich history here, and good to see an amateur win it. And we're, you know, excited, you know, now to look ahead to 2021 and another expanded field up at Black Wolf Run. And it was supposed to be the Irish course, but because of logistics, they've decided to make the alternate venue for the one of the two rounds on Monday and Tuesday, Pine Hills Country Club in Sheboygan. Again, to me, next year will be as fascinating as this year for a different reason, because you've got two very different golf courses, Gary.
Yeah, very different golf course. It's kind of like Erin Hills and Blue Mound in the USA. Yeah, Pine Hills. Boy, I still remember Jim Schumann winning a State Open. I think he shot 62 in the final round, which is a course record. And I'll tell you what, there won't be many 62s at Pine Hills in the State Open next year. It's a great golf course. That's going to be fun. One, you have kind of a bomber's paradise, and then you come to Pine Hills with more of a target course. It's going to be fun to see what happens there next year.
Well, a great State Open won by Harrison out at Blue Mound, and a great opportunity to see some of the rising stars in golf. They were all there this year. You know, the only ones that weren't, the guys playing out on tour, Jerry Kelly, Steve Stricker, maybe a couple others. Matt Tolan had already gone back to school, the great amateur out of Eau Claire, but otherwise, everybody was there. Before we get any further along, we need to remind you that Talking Dot Golf is sponsored by the club at Lac La Belle, which was recently reopening its new golf course, all new, after 2 years of renovations. The all-new golf course at the club at Lac La Belle is now open between Madison, Milwaukee, and the beautiful rolling hills of Oconomowoc. You can book your tee times today at clubatlaclabelle.com. Gary, we need to talk about courses. Since we're just talking about Lac La Belle, let's talk about golf courses first, because we had some big news over the last week, and we've got more golf course reviews coming up. But Century World deciding not to open in 2020. They were supposed to open right after Labor Day, after their original opening being pushed to the 4th of July or beyond. Weird optically, but as many people have observed, they're an insurance company. They don't need to open a golf course. And I guess that's the bottom line, right?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of reasons, Rob. As you point out, they're a big-time insurance company. The course never has to worry about – never has financial worries. You know, 15 minutes tee times, it's always in fantastic shape. And the second part of it is, as an insurance company, they don't want to, I don't think, set a bad example and have somebody get sick or, you know, COVID spread from people in the clubhouse. So I think there's a couple reasons that they shut it down for the season, but it just makes it whets your appetite, I guess, for next year, for reopening next year.
They were closed for 2 years, much like the club at Lac La Belle. Century World was closed for 2 years.
Yeah.
as they rerouted a lot of holes and kind of updated the Robert Trent Jones Jr. masterpiece, and the results were just, you know, breathtaking. I mean, for lack of a better word, everybody that's played it has raved about it. It'll be a host to a state open here in a few years, which I can't wait. I think it's 2023. And, you know, and if they pair it with Stevens Point Country Club with an expanded field, as they've been kind of talking about, boy, what a great week that'll be for the golfers.
Yeah, Rob, I covered the U.S. Junior Girls there last year. And again, that was a case where the girls from throughout the United States and abroad just raved about Century World. I mean, most of them had never heard of the course. And then they get there and find this gem of a parkland course designed by Robert Trent Jones, in perfect condition. So much fun to play. And I think we're going to see that in tournaments going forward. Just have to wait a little while.
And by the time this podcast posts, we'll also have another hidden gem from Dennis McCann. It's weird to think that Lake Arrowhead has become a hidden gem, but it's in the shadows now of a golf course named Sand Valley. And we sometimes forget how good and how close Lake Arrowhead is. Dennis went there to play, and both the lakes and the pines in great shape. One of the, you know, caveats for going there was that I wanted someone from our staff to see for the last time, potentially, when we were at the Chicago Golf Show. Daryl Sorbo told us they were going to bulldoze the old kind of semi-A-frame clubhouse and build a new one kind of where the near where the current practice putting green is. So I'm not sure where we are in that. You'll have to read Dennis McCann's story to see where we're at with the new clubhouse and if COVID has kind of delayed those plans at all. But it's always been a hidden gem. I've always said that, you know, if once upon a time I thought maybe I'd retire there, but California's pretty nice. I got to say that. But Lake Arrowhead, it's always been a favorite and a quietly solid golf course in kind of the middle of the state.
Very solid. All 36 holes. I'm partial to the original course, which is it the lakes, the original?
The Pines. The Pines is the original.
Pines is the original. Okay, yeah, I love that course. And so much great golf around there, Rob. Obviously, it's a mile away from Sand Valley. You've got Bullseye close. You've got Century World, Stevens Point Country Club. Northern Bay to the south is pretty close. Tons of good golf in that area within a 40 or 50 mile radius there.
And a lot of people that come up from Milwaukee to hit there stop off at either Mascouten or at Lasonia. And and then, of course, kind of another hidden gem in town is the Ridges Golf Course, with one of the toughest back nines in the entire state. But I'm looking forward to reading all of what Dennis's story has to entail and just see what's going on. They're a really good course facility when it comes to hosting WSGA, WPGA events. And it's been a stern test for many years. So check that out on Wisconsin.golf. Now, before I get to where you're going golfing, Gary, because I know you've got golf planned this week, I need to tell all of our Badger fans out there that I got to check off a bucket list course this week with my daughter, who was in town from Minnesota. I played Brookside Golf Course. That's the, or at least 18 of the 36 holes they have there. I played the kind of, if there is a championship of the two, that's the one. It's the number one course around the Rose Bowl. And
oh yeah,
I've been there seven times, Gary. Every time I've either had a bratwurst and or a beer on the course, but never while I'm swinging a golf club. It's while I'm waiting to see the Wisconsin Badgers play in the Rose Bowl. And you think about, we don't have very many courses in the state of Wisconsin that we park cars on, but Brookside Golf Course is one of them. And they park them there for the Rose Bowl. They park them for the UCLA home games. One of the guys I played with said that they would rather subject all as many holes of their golf course to be a parking lot throughout the college football season as they can and make the money off of that. And then they pay, I think he said $100,000 to kind of refurbish the course after every parking season. And it was in great shape. It reminded me a lot of Brown Deer Park, to be honest, Gary. Just kind of a, you know, mostly flat parkland course, winding between trees. It was a good test of golf. And we played the white tees at like 6,300 yards. And it was, you know how there's a long 6,300 yards? It was a long 6,300 yards. There was one hole in the back nine where I felt I could reach it with something less than a five iron.
Wow. Yeah, I saw your social media posts. Looked like a lot of fun. Yeah, I've been there three times too for Rose Bowls myself and barely even realized there was a golf course there with all the, well, cars parked. I don't know how they, it must take them weeks to get that course back in good shape after that, but glad you had a chance to play. Maybe I'll get out there someday, Rob.
That would be good. When you do, we got to get out there. We might have to have a staff meeting out here sometime and that would have to be on the list. Now you're going up to Minnesota to play golf, did I hear?
I am, Rob. I'm excited about it. I'm leaving Tuesday morning, coming home Saturday, and the plan is to go to Biwabik. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, so any Minnesotans out there can correct me. Way up north, a couple hours north of Superior, Duluth, and playing Giants Ridge and the Legend. And then I'm going up even farther north, up to Tower, Minnesota, Lake Vermilion, way up there, and I'm playing Wilderness at Fortune Bay. And Rob, one thing in researching before I go up there, Tower, Minnesota, I'm glad it's late August because Tower, Minnesota has the lowest recorded temperature in the lower 48 United States, 60 below zero. It hit in Tower, Minnesota.
Oh my.
That's pretty cool. Well, I hope it's 75 when I'm there.
I would hope so. You're rattling off these courses and you keep going north. I feel like Gary D'Amato is trying to find golf being played in snow in August here. We're going to go to the North Pole before too long. Well, that's a great, and we know, I mean, from, you know, the Minnesota Golf Association and their people who kind of organize their public relations for their golf courses are very good about promoting their courses. And there are so many in that state that are public access, and it'll be fun to read about those. Some of those might go on our website, but a lot of that will be for Golf Time Magazine, our sister publication, correct?
That's correct, Rob. And then on the way home on Saturday, I'm planning to stop in Spooner and play Spooner Golf Club, designed by Harry Vardon's brother, Tom, the overlapping grip inventor. Tom Vardon the first nine holes at Spooner. So I'm excited about that, too.
How about that? Spooner yeah. National, huh?
Yeah, Spooner National. Yeah.
Well, that's outstanding. Well, it's good. It's kind of nice. You know, I got to admit, it was a pretty intense month between the State Am and the State Open covering golf tournaments, wasn't it?
It was. Got to see some great golf and two great tournaments. And there's still more on the way, Rob. I know the Senior Am, which I think you're going to be covering remotely, right, this week?
Yeah, we'll be following and catching up with some of the leaders.
And then
of course, yeah.
I still have the State Senior Open, I believe, coming up.
Right.
And the WPGA Championship final round of that, so which I think is in Green Bay at Green Bay Country Club, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah,
there's still tournament golf to go. And it's I don't know how anything can top the State Open or the State Am, but never know what the seniors have in store here.
No, and speaking of seniors, we've got another Monday through Wednesday event this week. It's the PGA Tour Champions with the highly anticipated Geezer Golf debut of Phil Mickelson. We didn't think we'd see this in calendar year 2020, but I tell you what, because of his status in the FedEx Cup or lack thereof, he's decided he's going to play with the old guys, and it's also going to be the debut here on Monday today with Rich Beam, the former PGA champion who won at Hazeltine. I think you and I were there for that one. It was that was one that we'll never forget because he beat Tiger Woods. And he had a Wisconsin native on the bag with Billy Heim, the three-time WIA state champion out of Green Bay. So it's that ought to be interesting. We talked a couple weeks ago on the podcast about how do we watch our golf. I like live golf on Monday through Wednesday.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to have to try to tune in while I'm on the road a little bit and catch some of that. Phil Mickelson, that surprised me actually that he's playing. I mean, I figured maybe he'd jump into the senior majors next year and play those. But I'll tell you what, if he commits in any way to the Champions Tour, he's going to win a lot of tournaments out there. There's no doubt about it.
Well, and when I had the tour folks from the PGA Tour Champions ask Steve Stricker if he ever envisioned a day when all those guys would be playing on a regular basis out there. And he just doesn't see it. And because, you know, first of all, if you're competitive on the regular tour, you know, the money's better. I think the adrenaline, for lack of a better word, might be better. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, if you can do it, I mean, there's a lot to be said for seeing how late into your career you can go on the regular tour. The only downside, Gary, is if you have goals, you know, kind of Bernhard Langer, Hale Irwin-esque goals on the Champions Tour to be the greatest of all time in that age division. You know, that window is pretty small, and the more you overlap your regular tour with your senior tour, the smaller that window becomes than when you commit full time. Although this could be the era where we see that age demographic go into the late 50s versus, I think, you know, when we covered the AmFam a couple years ago, the number they gave us was in between 51 and 53 is where most of the tournament winners come from.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it, Rob, when you turn 50, if you want to still compete on the PGA Tour, it's awfully tough. We haven't seen very many winners on the PGA Tour past the age of 50. I mean, Sam Snead comes to mind, obviously. But not too many guys win past their 50th birthday. But do you play on that tour and butt heads with the kids and finish 20th and 25th? Or do you go to the Champions Tour and potentially dominate from the age of 50 to 58 or 59, Bernhard Langer being an exception, and now past his 60th birthday, still extremely good on that tour? But that's something that all those guys wrestle with if they're still kind of competitive when they turn 50. Which tour do they go to?
Well, it'll be fun to watch here at the start of the week. Then, of course, PGA Tour playoffs continue next week, and we're kind of in that weird part of this COVID year where we're in the playoffs for the regular tour with the opportunity to look forward to more majors at the end of the year. So it is like Christmas every day here if you're a golfer, because we're playing our sport, we're watching our sport, and not a whole lot has changed, and it's been all for the good. Gary, appreciate your time. Good luck this week as you continue to hone your craft with a run at being the exception to the rule about getting out of the senior tour and winning after the age of 60.
Well, Rob, I'm just hoping to tee it up and bend over and put my ball on the ground and not hurt my back. So we'll start with that.
That's true. You've got a lot of golf, so no dings and or twitches of the back there. So you be careful. Gary, appreciate it. For Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez. This has been Talking.Golf, sponsored by the club at Lac La Belle, which recently celebrated the grand opening of its all-new golf course. The rebirth of this historic course, now available for both members and non-members, located conveniently between Milwaukee and Madison in the beautiful rolling hills of Oconomowoc. You can see what all the talk is about with this remake of one of the oldest golf courses in the state. That's right, test your game with native fescue grasses, undulating greens, and Scottish roots. Book your tee time today at clubatlaclabelle.com. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.